Let us pray. Lord God, guide the words that you have given. May they be the right ones. May we hear your call and listen to your message for us. Amen. The things linking those two readings is the word family. Let's look at the Genesis readings to start with. It's nice to know that the Bible is full of things like dysfunctional families, which means that none of us are different from the Bible people at times. Here you have a dysfunctional family. You have a father who has deliberately favoured one son, Joseph, and that has ended up with the other brothers feeling extremely annoyed with him, annoyed enough to sell him into slavery, annoyed enough to wipe their hands of him and get rid of him. That's a fairly dysfunctional family, I'd think, all caused by the dad's favouritism. Those who favour one son or one daughter, beware. Resentment built up, and Joseph was given a sign of his special treatment, not, as you all believe, with a coat of many colours. That's almost certainly a wrong translation. The correct translation is a coat with long sleeves. Now you just imagine that you are working in the kitchen trying to do some cooking and you've got long sleeves. Do they get in the way? Can you imagine that while you're doing a Victoria sponge? It doesn't work. And the long sleeves were a sign of not having to work. Joseph was withdrawn from the work, just left to his brothers. That is why they so resented the coat that he had. But underneath it all, they live with the regrets over many, many years of what they have done. Joseph has seized his opportunity, even though he was a slave, to act well, to act hard, perhaps acting harder than he was trying to be persuaded not to act by his father. And he has risen to the top, second only in the state of Egypt. And he has power and control over the food. And when his brothers appear, it's obvious that both sides need a form of reconciliation. And they are brought together, hugging one another, kissing one another, and finding out the family news. If your family gets together from a long way and comes to one spot, you share news. How is so-and-so? How's the baby? How have they grown up? What are they doing? What's their job? Information is going backwards and forwards. A time of reconciliation is there. Wasted years when they could have been together, but all caused by their favouritism. However, there is one other thing. Joseph says that underneath all of this, under all the turmoil and the strife and the stress, God's will was paramount, and God's will would come out. At the bottom of it, in the end, God's will be made known and will be shown. What a great line to have. After years and years of suffering, he can still say, I can see God's hand working through the events that happened to me. What about that reading from Matthew? We hear there of a woman, a mother, who is desperate. Desperately in love with her daughter and wants nothing but the best for her. She is so desperate that she defies all the natural, known cultural conventions. She goes out haranguing a man in the street. She wouldn't normally talk to a man without an introduction. She certainly wouldn't harangue him in the street, and certainly she would not harangue a Jew because she was a foreigner. But her love for her daughter is so strong, she'll go against all the conventions, and she shouts and screams to get Jesus' attention. Do you know what it does? The poor disciples, they get embarrassed. Poor dears. Which is more important, their embarrassment or the desperate love of the mother. And Jesus asks what's going on. And the woman is brought forward. And she is prepared as well to go along with all the cultural stereotypes of the time. The Jews called people like the Canaanites the dogs. And she's saying, I may be one of the dogs. She's assuming Jesus thinks that, you see. I'm maybe one of the dogs, but even dogs are entitled to a few crumbs under the table. My two dogs think the same, by the way. They're entitled to crumbs under the table. And this woman is saying, you give out to people. Can please some of your crumbs fall here on me and on my daughter? She needs all the help she can get. What a mother. I fancy her on my side. Wouldn't want to fancy her in a dark alley at night. She'd sort things out. She is so strongly for her family, she'll go through embarrassment, rejection, anything for the sake of her daughter. Wow. Two families, different, but again, love underlying all of it in some way or another. Families can be places of great support, great, but also, along with support, there can also be places of great stress. Families should make allowance for differences and for different aspirations and different talents. Families are places where we eat, drink, laugh, tell jokes, take the mickey, share hopes and dreams. A place where we can relax and be ourselves. That's what we would hope. And for parents living for children, not through the children. There's nothing perhaps more embarrassing than a father who was not a good footballer living on the touchline watching his son play and hurling abuse at the referee. Living through his son? No. Living for his son, yes. Some people have never known the delights of family life, and for them we can feel nothing but regret. People where children are abused, neglected, and stunted perhaps either physically or spiritually by the way they are treated. We have nothing but regret for them. But also, our own families can be microcosms of the way the family in general works, where we're all interrelated, interdependent, and relying on one another. And our church family should be like that. For some people, the church can be the only family they know. Place where they feel that they can be cared for and loved. That's why we have a strong pastoral care system, so that the needs are catered for of everybody. Everybody can find a place where they can be guaranteed to be wanted and loved and helped to develop. It has also to be a safe place, a place where they know that they will not be harmed or injured. And it's also good to feel, as I hinted at through the prayer manual, that we are also part of an international family of Methodists, caring and loving for one another, and for the Church of God spread throughout the world. The worldwide nature of the Church is speaking of a family, God's family, where all should be loved, nurtured, cared for, and helped in any way that's needed. It's also why Jesus gathered a group of disciples around him. They were the nearest he could have to a family. We know he had brothers and sisters. They're mentioned in the Gospel. But on a day-to-day basis, walking around, he had a family of disciples. They could work with one another, tell the jokes, laugh, listen to stories, eat together. We're coming up to our time of communion, and there should be coming up, with a bit of luck, a picture. Okay, a picture of that Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And you can see how it includes everybody. All are included in this table of love. Jesus has broken the bread, and in fact, if the artist has very carefully, where he's broken the bits of bread, left the letters K and R, the first letters of Jesus' name in Greek, by the in between the letter, bits of bread. And you can see Jesus' face shining in the red wine. But he's holding his hands out to his family, the disciples. But even with that lovely image, sharing the Passover meal, which spoke of God's continuing love for his people, bringing them out of slavery, even with that image, we can also see that in the background, there's Judas on the right-hand side. So even with the family that he had gathered around him, it was a family member that betrayed him. And you can see Judas in the background leaving to betray Jesus. We would always hope that there is no way that we would betray our Saviour. The one we see broken in the bread and poured out in the wine. The Saviour who loves us with an unending love. Remember what a family is for. It's for celebrating together. And when we eat bread and wine shortly, then we are, as a family, sharing that meal with Jesus. We are part of the disciples, if you like, eating bread, drinking wine, and remembering God's continuing and endless love for us. And again, as I say, notice the hands spread out and welcoming all. Even as that lady said, even the dogs are welcome with Jesus. Those who think that they are not worthy are wrong. Jesus doesn't deal in our worth. He deals in love for all people. So all are welcome at his table. Let us pray that we never, never betray him. Amen.